Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Today is Friday, which is a fabulous day, as usual, but we have a great story we wanted to share with you today, and thank you, little shout out here to Dale. Thanks, Dale, for sending us this story. He sent us the link in an email so that we could tell it on Mormon Channel Daily, thought it would be a good fit. And in fact, it very much is, so we are grateful to him for sharing that with us. Here's the story. There is a doctor who has been working in the small town of Rushville, Illinois, for 58 years, and he's now retiring at the age of 88 years old. That's a pretty long time to work as a doctor. But there is something truly remarkable about this doctor, even more than his age and how long he's practiced. During the time of his practice, he only charged patients $5 a visit for his services. Can you believe that? That seems unheard of in this day and age. This doctor, Dr. Russell Doner, was born on a farm nearby Vermont, Illinois, and he was one of seven children. He worked nights to pay his way through Northwestern University Medical School. He had dreams of being a cardiologist in a big city. But instead, he says, Rushville needed a doctor, so I stayed. It's the way it's got to be. I've got to take care of my people first, he said. When they're interviewing him, they ask a member of his office staff, how can you make it on $5 a patient? And she answered, millions and millions of patients frequently. He even makes house calls. People line up at his office, and he doesn't take appointments, but if you have an emergency, you just go to the back door of the clinic and he'll let you in. Before he retired, he didn't really take time off either, but he says if he did take a day off, he'd like to go to the state of Missouri someday. Now, Missouri is only 58 miles away from where he is currently working, so you can tell this is a really dedicated man who hardly ever leaves the job. He's always working. Even the pharmacy in town, which is just down the street from Dr. Doner's office, stays open until they receive a phone call from Dr. Doner's office saying that they have seen their last patient of the day, and then the pharmacy closes. Dr. Doner has no children of his own, but he has delivered more than 3,500 babies, more than Rushville's population, which is 3,100. When interviewers from NBC News asked him, "Where's your computer?" he answered, "Far, far away. I never had one. They consider me an old country doctor," he says. "And there's nothing wrong with that," he adds. That is a great man. We pulled that from a couple of sources, NBCNews.com from November 1st, 2013, in an article entitled $5 a Day Doc of Illinois Retires at Age 88 by Elizabeth Chuck, and also an article by Bob Dotson from Today.com entitled Meet the Small Town Doc Who's Charged $5 a Visit for 55 Years from December 27th, 2010. We thought that was quite a happy story to share for this fabulous Friday. And doesn't it make you feel good to know that there are people out there who are really that nice? It's kind of heartwarming, honestly, and that's why we wanted to share it with you today. There's one more story we'd like to share with you today before we close. And this story is told by President Thomas S. Monson in a general conference talk from April 1983, so quite a while ago. And it's entitled Anonymous. Here's the story in his own words.
I think that perhaps no one, in my reading, has better understood the meaning of the true gift than Henry Van Dyke, who wrote the beautiful story, The Mansion. The main character in the story is one by the name of John Waitman. John Waitman was described as a man of means, a dispenser of political power, a solid citizen. His attitude toward giving could be summed up in his expression, "Give your gift where it will do the most good. No indiscriminate giving, no coins in beggars' hats, but let your gift be given where it can be readily identified and thus do good all around." One day, John Waitman was seated in his large chair before the table in his study, reading some papers that were before him spread on the table. They told of the Waitman wing of the hospital, the Waitman Chair of Political Jurisprudence at the university, the Waitman Grammar School at Dulwich. John Waitman felt satisfied. And then he opened the old family Bible, which also was on the table, and he read to himself a passage from the New Testament. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The book seemed to float upward. John Waitman found that his face lowered to his hands and rested upon the table. He slipped into a deep sleep. In his dream, he found that he had come to the heavenly city. He was there with people whom he had known in mortality. And a guide came forward and said, "I have come to show you your heavenly homes." The little group stood before a beautiful mansion. And the guide said, "This is your house, Dr. McLean. Go in. There is no more death here, no more sorrow, no more heartache, for all of your old enemies have been conquered. But all of the good that you've done, all of the kindness you've bestowed, all of the tender hope you have extended, they're all here, for we have built them all into the foundation of this mansion for you." And then a mansion was given to a bookkeeper who had cared for an invalid wife all of their married lives. Another mansion to a woman, a mother, widowed while yet young in life, who had reared a wonderful family. And then a mansion to a middle-aged woman who had lain for 33 years paralyzed, helpless but not hopeless, succeeding through a miracle of courage in her one aim, never to complain, but always to impart cheer to those who visited her. Finally, John Waitman was becoming impatient. He wondered where his mansion was, and he discovered that he and the guide were walking alone. And as they walked on and on, the homes became smaller, then smaller, then smaller. Finally, they stood on a windswept hill, nothing there but a little hut, smaller than a shepherd's shelter. And the guide said, "John Waitman, this is your mansion." "Oh, no," he called out. "Why, have you not heard of the Waitman wing of the hospital? Have you not heard of the Waitman chair of political jurisprudence at the university? Have you not heard of the Waitman grammar school at Dulwich?" "Wait," said the guide. "They were not ill-given, but they were given for the name and the mansion of John Waitman in the world. Verily, you've had your reward. Would you be paid twice?" A sadder but wiser John Waitman then said to the guide, "What is it that truly counts here?" And the guide replied, "Only that which is truly given, only that good which is done for the love of doing it, only those plans where the welfare of others is the master thought, only those labors where the sacrifice is greater than the reward, only those gifts where the giver forgets himself." Suddenly, John Waitman was awakened by the sound of the clock on the mantel chiming the hour of 7. He had slept the whole night through, but he was alive. He had yet a life to live, love to extend, and gifts to give. Oh, may we remember that a bell's not a bell till we ring it, and a song's not a song till we sing it, and love wasn't put in your heart there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. How I pray that we will remember this truth, that we will look upward as we press onward in the service of our God and our fellow men. And may we incline an ear toward Galilee, that we might hear perhaps an echo of the Savior's teachings. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, and of our good deeds see that ye tell no man. Our hearts will then be lighter, our lives brighter, and our souls richer. Loving service, anonymously given, may be unknown to man, but the gift and the giver are known to God.
That's another excellent story about service. And, you know, we each have a chance to reach out to people around us and give some sort of service to those who are in need. And especially as kind of the Christmas season is approaching, it's that time of year where hopefully we do look outside ourselves a little bit and look for those who may be in need around us. That's the message we'd like to close with today on this lovely Friday. Thank you for being with us. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled Beautiful Life, and it's featuring Jenny Jordan Frogley. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great Friday, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday.
Here I go again. Yesterday's gone, another day begins. I can't wait to jump right in. Oh, it wasn't always like it is today. Once I was living in a darker place, and I'm only here by His good grace. Yeah, yeah. And I feel so alive. I can't keep. Shout it out, I'm a living life.